Good morning. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Saturday, April 10th, 2021. The time is 10:03 a.m. We're meeting in the State Capitol Room number 205. In attendance are Senators Machicki and Senator Hughes. And we do have a quorum to conduct business. Thank you to Jeannie, our recording secretary, and Carson, our moderator for today. And as a reminder, please silence your cell phones. Today we will continue taking testimony SB 111. We're going to open it up for a public testimony. And I'll welcome Senator Begich to the committee. He joined us. And we're going to probably limit public testimony to about 2 or 3 minutes. I think we'll have plenty of time today for the people who are calling in. I just encourage people call in to try to make sure that they get to the point, and I'll watch the clock and see how it's going, probably give people like a 2-minute warning or so. All right, so I'm going to open up public testimony. Public testimony is now open, and we can start with Diane Orr. She lists her affiliation as the Anchorage School District, and Ms. Orr, if you would please state your name and your affiliation for the record and begin your public testimony.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Diane Orr, and I am a director in the Teaching and Learning Department for the Anchorage School District. I support this bill for its focus on reading. Every child in the state of Alaska deserves the fundamental right to learn to read. It is the most important legislation, the goal of every Alaskan student reading well by third grade. For this to be accomplished, we must provide our children with evidence-based reading instruction beginning in preschool. If we are to reach this goal, we need statewide teacher training on the science of reading. All teachers implementing sound reading instructional practices is essential. This bill needs to make sure there are clear expectations for those practices. This means providing explicit and systematic instruction in phonological awareness, phonics, vocabulary, fluency, and comprehension, a structured literacy approach. There also needs to be evidence-based reading interventions, intervening with those students who need additional support to reach proficiency. Pre-K through 2 early literacy screening tools need to be administered 3 times a year to identify students with potential reading difficulties and monitor progress towards proficiency. BEAD needs to adopt standards that delineate an early education high-quality program with setting those higher standards. A rigorous, universal early education program provides equity, giving children with difficult circumstances the chance to succeed alongside their peers. We must provide high-quality preschools that are well-aligned to a robust K-3 system of evidence-based instructional practices to ensure we reach our goal of all third grade students reading proficiently. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Orr. Well under 2 minutes. Appreciate your comments, very very succinct. Next, we will move on to Laura Nevada. Ms. Nevada, if you'd please state your name and any affiliation you may want to admit to and begin your public testimony.
Good morning, my name is Nevada. I'm from the Anchorage School District and have worked as an educator for over 25 years. I currently work for the Anchorage School District as a lead instructional coach, and I'm testifying today in support of Senate Bill 111. As we know, reading is not a natural process. Written language is a code. To understand this code, science tells us we must use evidence-based reading instruction. Senate Bill 111 ensures that Alaska students will be provided with this through explicit and systematic instruction in phonological awareness, phonics, vocabulary, fluency, and comprehension strategies in grades pre-K through third grade. An important core of Senate Bill 111 is a focus of a multi-tiered systems of support that includes universal screening, strategic data-driven reading interventions, and progress monitoring. Included with their classroom reading instruction, students who show reading difficulties will be provided with this bill with evidence-based interventions focused on students' specific needs along with continual progress monitoring to allow teachers to make those adjustments to each student's instruction based on their changing needs. Senate Bill 111 acknowledges that an integral part of supporting our students who are struggling with reading is to include the students' families. This bill ensures stronger communication between families and schools regarding each student's educational needs. It also provides strategies for families to use at home to increase reading proficiency through parent workshops and parent-guided home reading activities. Every child in Alaska deserves, as Ms. Orr stated, the fundamental right to learn to read. Passing Senate Bill 111 is one way we as Alaskans can address the immediate needs of our students. It will provide students with a quality foundational reading instruction, evidence-based interventions, focused multi-tiered instruction, and strong family, school, and connections. Thank you, Senators, for hearing my comments today.
Thank you, Ms. Nevada. Next would be Timothy Bartow. Mr. Bartow, if you'd please state your name and any affiliation and begin your public testimony.
Good morning, Chairman Holland and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Timothy Bartow. I live in House District 14, Senate District G, and I'm testifying today on behalf of the Alaska Policy Forum. It's been repeated numerous times over the last 8 years, but it bears yet another refrain. Reading scores for Alaska's fourth grade students are dead last when measured against fourth graders in the other 49 states and the District of Columbia. Alaska schools have good teachers, and our students have the same potential for learning as do children in the rest of the country. Yet, while Alaska's per student spending ranks among the five highest per student spending states in the country, our children are still not learning the most basic of educational skills. For the sake of our children and the future of our state, this must change, and that can be made through a robust K-3 literacy program. Reading should be the fundamental educational objective in our public schools. All other curricula are secondary. Children who learn to read by age 9 can and must use the reading skills to continue learning. Children who are not competent readers by age 9 are more likely to fall behind in their studies, drop out of school, live in poverty, and end up in prison, and there's data to support these unfortunate realities. There are several aspects to making sure students are keeping up with expectations, including early and continuous parental notification of struggling readers, pairing the weakest readers with the most highly effective reading teachers, and instruction in phonological awareness. Students who do not attain proficient reading scores prior to third grade will be afforded these interventions. Students who attain proficient reading scores by the end of third grade will be promoted to the fourth grade, but if a student's reading scores are not to standard by the end of third grade, that student should not be promoted to fourth grade. Yes, this sounds harsh, and it goes against society's prevailing ideals of promoting self-esteem, but the child who has to repeat third grade will, in that repeated year, get the focused attention he or she needs to attain a proficient reading level. Holding students back is not punishment. It provides them an opportunity to catch up and help avoid all those resultant issues mentioned earlier, such as dropping out, living in poverty, serving time in prison. Many other states have been hugely successful with K-3 literacy programs, and this committee has already heard the articulate testimony provided by Dr. Kimiana Burke, so you know how successful the state of Mississippi was in turning around its literacy outcomes. Alaska can do the same, and we can do it with legislation that is now before this committee. The Alaska Policy Forum encourages this committee to pass reading intervention legislation this session. The education of our public school children and the future of our state will be greatly enhanced by it, and I thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Mr. Bartow. Next will be Rhonda Schlumbaum, if I pronounce that correctly. Ms. Schlumbaum, if you please state your name and any affiliation and begin your public testimony.
Hello, my name is Rhonda Schlumbaum, and I'm a teacher in Salta, Alaska. Senate Education Committee, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak on behalf of Alaska's children. I'm testifying to encourage you to continue to work on SB 111. I've been following the changes in this bill for the last 2 years, and I feel there is much we can do to improve it. I understand the need to be fiscally responsible. I also realize the need to forward fund education. A bill that funds a program for a short period of time will not have the impact that you are seeking. Many people have testified on the need for universal pre-K. If you want to make a difference in children in the future, fully fund pre-K. It's been my experience that the children who have had pre-K in Alaska do not struggle like the ones who have not had this opportunity. The bill is possibly too large for the committee's goals. Maybe start where the research is clear, funding pre-K, and then in subsequent years, build on that to support children. Educator Paul Thomas's work has, Paul Thomas has written extensively about how to write legislation to help our children, and I direct you to the link that I put in a previous letter to this committee. Some of Dr. Thomas's thoughts involve supporting the needs of students and teachers. This would include a balance of systematic instruction and authentic text, supported instructional materials that are chosen by the teachers to fit the unique needs of children. As a 30-year educator with a master's in reading at a Title I school, I can tell you that the single biggest factor with struggling kids is poverty, lack of access to books in the home, and opportunities to develop pre-reading skills is what sets children behind. If the state still wants to improve education after funding pre-K, then add things to the bill that help teachers fund annual professional development. I know from my own experience that staying current in research has strengthened my teaching. 2 years ago, I attended the STEAM conference in Anchorage, and because of my own work in the state's literacy organizations, I was interested in a group discussion with an invited member from the International Literacy Association's board. The biggest takeaway from this session for me was how diverse Alaska is and how the problems of Fairbanks are totally different from the remote villages. This means that the solutions must also be diverse. The two most glaring problems were access to curriculum and books for children to read. Another problem that I personally see in schools is a lack of accountability with school attendance. I currently have a student who missed 30 days of the last quarter, and there is nothing I can do about it. This child is very bright and could be at the top of the class, but she is sadly never at school. She's also a child of poverty. Thank you for your continued work on this bill and for having a Saturday testimony for teachers.
Thank you, Ms. Limbaum, for your comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Also, I'd like to welcome Senator Stevens. He was able to join the committee this Saturday morning. Yes, Senator Stevens.
That's all I wanted to say.
welcome aboard. Appreciate it. Next up will be Ilea Preston. Ms. Preston, if you'd please state your name and any affiliation and begin your public testimony.
Hi. Thank you, Senator Holland. I appreciate all the work that the Senate has been doing for education. My name is Ilea, and I do support Senate Bill 111. I have taught all over the country, and I've seen some good stuff and some very bad stuff. And when I got married to my military husband 20 years ago, I heard that Alaska was the place to be, both for economics and education, and it was just like the golden ticket. But then when we got orders here, we had heard that things had changed, and that was very disheartening to me. I've done quite a bit of research on this, and I know that our military children are 45% of them are under proficient, which means that they leave this state behind. And I have seen military children having to open up every door in their kitchen looking for the silverware. What a tragic it is that they move from place to place and they're behind in their education because of Alaska. I think we can do better than this. And I think this bill can be a really big help to this. I think that we should be able to give teachers their academic freedom. I heard a teacher once say she taught second grade for 20 years, and someone said to her, you must be able to do this in your sleep. And she said, heavens no, I've never taught the same kid twice, so I would never teach it the same way. And I thought that was really brilliant of her. And then she went on to say, if I did teach the same kid twice, I did it wrong the first time. And I think that it's really smart of her to realize that every child needs to be taught differently, and certainly our military kids deserve something better. So I support this bill, and I thank you all for working on it.
Ms. Preston, thank you so much for your comments. Next up will be Roy Getchell. Mr. Getchell, if you please state your name and any affiliation and begin your public testimony.
Hi there. Good morning. For the record, my name is Roy Getchell, and I am the proud superintendent of the Haynesboro School District. I'm very thankful that we're having the conversation about reading as a state, and I'm grateful of the unique opportunity that we have as Alaskans to work so closely with all of you. And first, I want to assure you that our school district believes in the importance of reading, as well as the other skills that help make our students successful in and out of the classroom. As was reported to our school board on Tuesday, our students have not only maintained progress in exceeding pre-pandemic national averages, but they've shown growth on the NWEA MAP assessment as well as the DIBELS reading benchmark and screening assessment. they also continue to take courses that make them Alaskan ready. 99% of our high school students are on track to graduate. 100% of our seniors are completing post-secondary plans. I don't have time for details, but you'd be amazed if you could see them. These outcomes, achieved by our students with the support of their parents, teachers, our staff, and community, through the governance of our duly elected school board, are what I'm hoping to polish with your support. I support the introduction of early years education in preschool 100%. That is a common component of the highest performing global systems, including most in our own country. I also support the work of Commissioner Johnson's leadership through the development of Alaska's Education Challenge, the components of which serve as a roadmap whose course was set by Alaskans from every stakeholder group. I'm sure you've seen it many times, but hope you'll take a look at the reading section, as well as the Alaska Council of School Administrators joint position statement when tackling hard issues like these. I urge your extreme caution when considering regulations, mandates, and the belief that high-stakes accountability will create long-term positive gains in the kind of learners that we all hope for. In fact, globally benchmarked data shows that the exact opposite usually occurs. I do not think that legislation, while important for many issues, can replace the leadership required from me as the chief learner of my school district under the guidance of my school board. Thank you so much for your time and service and all that you give to our state. I hope that you'll come and see our school in Haines sometime. I'd love to show it off. Thank you so much.
Superintendent Getchell, we may have a question or comment from Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Superintendent, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to congratulate you for the 2019 peaks on English and language arts. You were third in the state, 64.6%. And the state average is 39.2. If you get a chance to send the committee an email on why you believe you're obtaining that level of proficiency, even just a few paragraphs, as opposed to many of the other, well, almost every other district in the state, I'd certainly be interested in reading those paragraphs.
You bet. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I moved here as a father, having come from other states and worked globally. I know what works. I think there are some things to polish up in Alaska, but boy, I'd be careful of some of the initiatives that I've seen because, you know, there's Alaskan skills that we want to keep and that I want for my own children as well as kids in this community. So I'll be happy to do that, and I'm honored to do so. So thank you.
Thank you.
Also, Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Superintendent, you said there are some things you'd want us to avoid. What would those be? I'd be curious to know.
I think the big thing, you know, I do understand that we have some things that we're concerned about in Alaska, and every system does around the globe. But I think the big things to avoid are chasing what I'd call the global education reform movement, which is the high stakes accountability. And I'm not afraid of that from my own local board, but what I've seen in working overseas is the most promising, highest effective school districts and systems empower teachers. And what I just heard a second ago from testimony was, you know, just the academic freedom. We want to be really careful that we don't hamstring our teachers from being able to do what they need to do. The other thing I would avoid is mandatory retention. You know, we're having conferences right now with parents, right, who come in and we talk about progress. And that's required, actually, of the READ plans. And we're voluntarily doing READ plans in our district. But many times parents who don't come to conferences and who aren't involved had bad experiences in school. And my experiences of over 30 years are that many times they involved a retention or a feeling like school is not a safe place for them. So usually the kids that we need to speak the most about are the ones that we can't get their parents in the door for a variety of reasons. And so I would caution that. I think there's a place for it. But as a legislated mandate, as you know, I would just be really careful that one size does not fit all.
Thank you, Superintendent Getchell.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Next up will be Patricia Fisher. Ms. Fisher, if you'd please state your name and any affiliation and begin your testimony.
Yes. My name is Patricia Fisher. I'm a resident of the Mat-Su. I'm speaking for myself. I am strongly in favor of SB 111. I grew up in California, and one of my first memories was of the kindergarten program, which had a very strong reading program. It started me on a lifelong love of reading, learning, and education, and I could think of nothing better for our children than to have a strong program, and a strong early education program, as provided by SB 111. One specific comment, I recommend against the sunset clause in the bill, which is detrimental to long-term planning, and instead suggest an annual review. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Ms. Fisher. Thank you for joining us this Saturday. Next up will be Kevin Hall. Mr. Hall, if you'd please state your name and any affiliation and begin your testimony.
Yes, my name is Kevin Hall. I'm calling this morning from the thriving metropolis of Sterling, Alaska. I wanted to come out in strong support of SB 111, and I want to thank you, Senators, for all your work on it. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thanks so much for being concise. Next up would be Scott McManus. Mr. McManus, if you'd care to state your name and any affiliation and begin your public testimony.
Yes, good morning, Chair Holland and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Scott McManus, and I'm the superintendent of Alaska Gateway School District. I'm testifying this morning regarding SB 111, and I appreciate the opportunity to address it in committee. Third grade students in my district have improved on an average of 10 RIT points over on the map over the past 4 years, and it is a stated goal, and has been, that all of our students are reading on level by the third grade. But we still do have a long way to go. It is difficult right now to say if I'm going to support 111 because as it was originally presented, I don't think I would, and I haven't seen the iteration of the bill that is supposed to be forthcoming, and I look forward to see what it actually says. So I'll address the concept, I think. I live and work and have grown up in rural Alaska, and one of the things I'm hearing during today's testimony is a difference in perspective on this between rural and Alaska and Anchorage in the Valley. Like many educators across the state, I worked last year with members of this committee to improve SB 6. This year that evolved into SB 8, and I supported it because I believed it would have a profound impact on learning for students. Legislators like Senator Begich and Senator Stevens, who have long demonstrated their support of public education and have demonstrated a willingness to work to understand the whole of education across Alaska, have been important, I think, in the evolution of this bill. They listen to people for whom education is their life's work, and who are not about the job of teaching, but who are about the work of education. SB 11 could be one of the most important bills that this committee ever considers, and it will impact children across the state for years to come. So rather than list the things that are in SB 11 that we're not sure of, and that originally made my toes curl and my heart hurt, that I hope that the changes that it looks like they'll have will have good results, I wanted to talk about what things I think would actually improve the system. Teacher tenure is one of them. Teacher retention, rather, is one of them. In Alaska Gateway School District this year, we had zero turnover among our tenured staff. We do this by hiring the very best teachers we can get our hands on, and we treat them like quality professionals that they are. We need your help to do this across the state. Everybody supports student reading that level. So let's use the best evidence-based practices to do that. The primary goals of the bill, I think, are laudable, and we need to support that. We need to insist that our in-state teacher prep system provides reading training for all teachers as part of the program. We need to work with our university and our school district to support and require reading training for teachers that are new to the state. We need to attract more quality teachers to Alaska. At this point, hiring has been my primary focus since January. I only had 6 positions to fill, and after dozens of interviews, I still have one more left. And we need to have a bill based on the evidence that supports reading interventions that are enumerated in the quality work done by the National Reading Panel years ago. This isn't new. We just need to do what we know works, and we need to support that. And we're asking you to hold schools accountable for performance. I welcome that, and I want to be able to tell you how well we're doing. We need to eliminate the mandated reading, the retention piece of this bill. No evidence supports mandatory retention. John Hattie's meta study of over 800 educational research projects ranks retention at 248 out of 252 and says that it actually has a negative effect. This is not about self-esteem, it's about best practice. And finally, support pre-K to ensure our students are ready for school. This is so essential. When our students start kindergarten with a vocabulary that is 1,500 words less than an average kindergartner, that problem just simply multiplies itself. You can help us do this. We want to do it with you, not in spite of you, and we believe that doing those things will help us to help all of our students. Thank you, members of the Education Committee.
Superintendent McManus, if you'd hang on just a minute, a question or comment from Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Superintendent, I just wanted to bring to your attention some of the, and it's worth reviewing the meeting yesterday, Friday. We went through each of the proposed changes. We haven't seen the CS yet, but we are planning to see that CS. I guess it would probably be available as early as Monday and go through it. I would encourage, I know that that's a school day and it's a work day, but I would encourage you to sit through that. I think what really has happened here has been a real review of all the hard work that went into the other education bills that you referenced, and I'm hopeful that many of the concerns you've just addressed are in fact addressed in the changes that were described by the staff to the committee and by the chairman of the committee. I appreciate your comments. I'm of course supportive of most of them, many of them, and would just encourage that. I think we might be on the right path for a really strong bill here, and so let's see where it goes. And my fingers are crossed. But I have faith in the process, and I have faith in the chairman, I have faith in the staff that we have moved forward in an appropriate way. And I very much appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Begich. And a question or comment from Senator Machicki.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. McManus. I'd like, if you can please forward your studies on the value or costs of retention, please. And I do want to point out that the bill has relief valves for parents having the final right and some intervention on that last year on at the end of third grade as well. So it's a pretty soft requirement for retention. But again, I'd be really interested in if you can forward those studies to the committee. I'd certainly read anything I can get my hands on, so thank you.
I'll be more than happy to, Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Hughes.
And good morning, Superintendent McManus. Thank you for your testimony. And I just want to point out, too, that if the research regarding whether to promote a child or not promote a child is it does not involve a school or a district that has intensive reading intervention and prevention strategies, it's really not quite applicable. So, yes, it's true. In the old days, I remember kids getting retained, and it did not turn out well. So, but what we're hearing from the states where they have worked very hard to catch those children up and move them back up to their cohort, it hasn't been the same. So if you have research that pertains to districts and states that have read by nine programs and the retention has turned out poorly, I would like to see that particular research. Thank you.
Thank you to the senators for the comments. I'll just let the people who are listening in, waiting to speak. We only have about four left, so if you're listening in, we'll probably get you in the next 10 or 12 minutes or so. And anyone who's listening in and thinking about calling in, we have some numbers. Anchorage would be 563-9085. Calling in from Juneau would be 586-9085. And anyone else would be 844-586-9085. So next up, it looks like Linda Hoolan. Linda Hoolan, if you'd please state your name and any affiliation and begin your public testimony.
Good morning. My name is Linda Hoolan, and I'm calling from Anchorage. I'm a 20-plus year teacher in the Anchorage School District, and I'm really interested in this bill, and thank you for your work on this. Reading's near and dear to my heart, for sure, and I'm honored to hear all the interesting testimony from the educators around the state who have called in. I just really have one thing that's on my mind about this is that the pre-K program is really important. And from what I've heard and read, school districts that have a solid pre-K program produce students who do well when they become adults, and there's a direct correlation. I am concerned that this bill has a sunset provision to take out pre-K at some point, and that doesn't seem wise. We need a stable long-term investment for our students and for our communities. Early education is critical, and oversight and reporting makes sense, a good policy, but repealing the pre-K component does not. So I don't know what the latest iteration of this bill might be, but I hope that it doesn't include repealing the pre-K component. That's all I needed to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Hoolan. I'll just speak to that a little bit. We have left the sunset provisions in the bill, and it's not to repeal the pre-K as it is to force a future legislature to look at how well the program's working. And it's just an efficacy test, and it's a fiscally prudent thing to do with dollars as tight as they are in Alaska today. But thank you for... I'm sorry, say again?
Yeah, I'm just curious. What reviews are you going... How does the district show that the pre-K is working? I mean, just curious about that.
Hopefully we get reading improvement.
So you're directly relating the reading improvement to pre-K?
Well, it's 10 years, 10 years of time. And Senator Begich would like to speak on this.
There's, Linda, thank you for your testimony. And I just would, you know, what the department is doing now, and which is important, is they're measuring when a kid goes through quality early pre-K, they measure how that how that child is doing on their kindergarten examinations when they first come into kindergarten in terms of a number of different factors, which will be one of the metrics. If the process is working, the K through three process should lead to outcomes that we can measure in third grade. And the CS is talking about a 10-year sunset period, which would mean we'd probably be able to track at least the first couple of years through the eighth grade. And I have reluctance to support the sunset clause too, as everyone knows, but in the CS I've been told that the sunset clause would apply to the entire bill. I would prefer significantly robust oversight and maybe biennial reporting. I said that on Friday. But I'm willing to look at what the CS has to provide here and see if indeed we can track progress. But we do have metrics that do track both early education and its impact and different types, in fact, of early education. And we do have metrics that track reading and reading improvement. Can we correlate them directly? There's always going to be a question about that. Is it causation or correlation? That will always be a question, and that's why I've been pushing for, and I know that there's some empathy for some receptiveness toward some robust evaluation that would be done so that we can actually ask the right questions and measure the right answers. So I do very much appreciate where you're coming from. I tend to support your position on the sunset clause. However, the legislative process is messy sometimes. If we can get through this process with a strong bill, and with areas that we can work to improve over the years, I think that's always the best process. So I'm hopeful. I'm looking forward to seeing the CS, and I'm hopeful to see where we're going with it. But I very much have taken note of your comments, as I know the other members of the committee have, and we're going to be looking at those things and asking those same questions. So thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chairman?
Thank you.
Senator Machicki.
Yeah, since we don't have a lot of testifiers left, and I'm sure folks want to get out of here on a Saturday, but this is fascinating. And Ms. Hewlin, I appreciate your call very much. I listen intently. I guess the way that I'm looking at this with the sunsets is the state of Alaska invests significantly in the education of our students. And across the board, we are, and I'm, we got an interesting document on some sort of myth killers, but including non-minority fourth grade reading, upper middle income, we're 49th in the country, 49th in 2019. And frankly, I'm looking at some of the districts that have well-developed pre-K programs, and they're not at the top of the heap in the state of Alaska. So what I'd like to see is the legislature becoming a lot more involved in some expectations for education, not as a parent, but as an investor that wants to help the best that we can. And I think in this particular case, I was started off being concerned about the sunset dates. I actually think it could be a very beneficial thing if we need to change the policy to adjust to results that we're seeing over the next few years, or perhaps provide additional intervention programs to improve the outcome. And Florida went from, 31st to first in 6 years with similar intervention. That's pretty significant progress. That was for fourth grade reading. So I'd like to see the same sort of outcome. I don't see it as a negative thing. I see it as a more further developed partnership between the state and districts.
And once again, this is Chair Holland, and I'll just say the only reason I addressed that, because I know in your comments you were very critical of the census, and I want people to understand. I apologize that we don't have the committee substitute before us right now. We're still waiting to get it back from the crew that builds it, and I just want people to understand what is still going to probably be in the bill and the changes we've made. Senator Bachicki.
Did Ms. Hewlin have a response?
Ms. Hewlin, are you still out there?
I am. Yes, I'm listening. So that seems.
Was there a question, Senator Bachicki?
No, I wondered if she had a response to, and she is about to give one. So.
Okay. Yeah, Ms. Hewlin, if you have any final comments.
Well, I appreciate the discussion of that. I don't have any final comments about that. I would hate to see a program that communities could look forward to having preschool for their kids and then it be jerked away from them. So that's just the thing. I mean, I'd like to see some stability for the communities. The other thing about reading, just in the 20 years that I've been teaching, I know we do progress monitoring. I teach fifth grade and sixth grade. And I know we do progress monitoring with fluency, but that's word calling. That doesn't have anything to do with comprehension. The thought is that the better that they read, then they can comprehend better. What is really needing at the early years and all through school is vocabulary development. It's vocabulary that helps kids make sense of the world. So that's part of reading, but it's a separate piece in addition to the fluency. So, I mean, I've had kids who can word call and they are fluent by the test standards, but when you ask them what they understood about what they read, they don't have much understanding. So these parameters that you put in place to monitor progress, you know, they're snapshots. They don't tell the whole story of a kid. So just, and I guess that goes back to some of the testimony about be careful what you're mandating.
Well, thank you, Ms. Hewlin. We'll get back on to the job at hand today as public testimony. Appreciate your time and your comments, and you're putting up with some of our questions and everything. But we'll move on to Abby Hensley. Ms. Hensley, if you're listening in, please state your name and any affiliation and begin your public testimony.
Oh, thank you. This is Abby Hensley, and I'm Executive Director for Best Beginnings, the statewide nonprofit that supports early literacy through Imagination Library and parent supports for their children. I wanted to thank you, first of all, for putting forward bills that deal with pre-K and with early literacy, and for continuing to hone legislation so it can be the best possible. I'll try not to repeat what others have said today. I'm glad we're looking to improve K-3 reading instruction because as the conversation just was had about, you know, is it causation or correlation between children exiting a pre-K program doing really well and then not being able to read at third grade. And so we really need to make sure that those excellent pre-K programs are followed by excellent K-3 programs. Early education and literacy really reflects Best Beginnings work since the very beginning. And one recommendation from the Ready to Read, Ready to Learn Task Force in 2006 that really founded Best Beginnings was to develop a statewide system of voluntary and affordable early childhood education. So we've been working at this for quite a long time, and it's gratifying to know that you're actually doing something about it. And being a proficient reader is really critical, as I think we all know, for individuals and for our society. And then regarding proposed changes to SB 111, we support the culturally responsive language being added back in. We think that it's important for all students, but especially important for our very youngest learners who are just leaving their home environment for school. And those connections really are so important. And then I've heard lots of conversation this morning about the sunset clauses. And, you know, we don't sunset K-12 education. We don't sunset a lot of other things because we're worried about whether they're successful or not. So I know that DEED's pre-elementary grant program has seen some good results and even greater results when districts get the support and guidance from DEED and that they have had in the past several years. And frankly, that takes money for personnel, and it takes money for collecting and analyzing data. You know, several years ago, we did have some data from school districts that DEED was able to report in 2017. And two districts in particular were called out. It was two school districts receiving state funds to provide preschool since 2008. Have been able to track the progress of young children into grades 2 and 3. Lower Kuskokwim School District provided documentation of student progress on MAP testing for grade 3. The results showed an increase in scores for those children who attended preschool versus children who did not. Nome Public School used MAP testing to show grade 2 outcomes. Results of testing showed higher scores for children who attended state-funded preschool versus children who did not. So we do have some data about the connection between pre-K and grade 3. And Education Northwest has recently completed a report that does show a connection between pre-K and third grade reading proficiency in Alaska. I don't support changing the school start date to June 1st. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, the majority of states use September 1st or a date close to that.
Ms. Hensley?
Ms. Hensley,
I just say we're approaching 5 minutes on your testimony, and I would assure you, starting the school, that's a terrible rumor that got started. Starting the school year on June 1st is nothing that was ever part of this bill. But if you'd like to add any closing comments.
Oh, yes, I would. Thank you. So I've heard others state the importance of books in the process of children developing pre-literacy skills, and I'd be remiss if I didn't note the value of the legislature's commitment to Best Beginnings and Imagination Library. And so ramping up Imagination Library to be available to all Alaska children birth to 5 is a conversation I hope we can have soon, as a prequel of sorts to the work of Senate Bill 111. And thank you again for your time and for your commitment to this absolutely critical work.
Thank you, Ms. Hensley. Sorry to have interrupted you. Christine Hutchinson, if you'd like to state your name and any affiliation and begin your public testimony.
Thank you, Senators, for taking this testimony. My name is Christine Hutchinson, and I'm a resident of the Kenai Peninsula, a constituent Senator Michicki. I come to you a bit biased because my daughter attended Northern Lights ABC School not too long after its inception. My two granddaughters have continued at Northern Lights ABC School, and my oldest granddaughter carries a book with her everywhere she goes. So I have a couple of notes I've made about this bill. I am a continual proponent of the Sunset Clause, and I appreciate the clarification a few minutes ago as far as reviewing it as opposed to just eliminating it. So I do think the review should be made, and as some of the people have mentioned, the statistics are there to show where the successes are, like Skagway and another one mentioned. There are several little pockets of very successful work being done on getting children to read, and one of them is the ABC program. The original school at Northern Lights has blossomed or expanded out to Birchwood. We have a school down here. Those children learn, before the third grade, 52 phonetic expressions, and they're required to repeat them from memory to the principal. And I understand that this kind of discipline in school, which is second only to paying for it in a private school, is not common. Because as the superintendent mentioned, it does require parental involvement. And I know that a lot of the students come into the school with challenges, home environment being one of them. And it's not possible, and I wouldn't want the legislature to get into the homes to correct these situations. But there are solutions. Another, moving on my list here, I cannot find a fiscal note. I'm not sure how this project is going to go forward without more money, unless it's going to come out of the education budget, which I think would be appropriate. But again, I haven't seen a fiscal note as to where it would come from. I recommend that you pass this legislation because reading is very, very important. I cannot express it for myself, my daughter, my granddaughters. Reading is, you read to learn, you learn to read, and then you read to learn everything, physics, chemistry, psychology, government, whatever it is, you have to be able to read. So I encourage you to pass this so we can have something concrete happen for our schools. But I do see some shortcomings, you know, like the fiscal note and the conditions for the children as they come into school. But I cannot recommend more highly the ABC concept, which is already in practice in some of our successful pockets. Thank you very much for your time and your willingness to look at this bill.
Thank you, Ms. Hutchinson. Senator Machicki, did you want to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Christine. We've been chatting about this a little bit, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate Christine calling in this morning.
All right, Senator Hughes.
Yeah, thank you, Christine, for your testimony. My granddaughter attends Northern Lights ABC and is a fluent reader now at the end of first grade, so they do a great job.
All right, next up would be Norm Wooten. Norm Wooten, if you'd please state your name and any affiliation and begin your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Chair Holland and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Norm Wooten. I'm the Director of Advocacy for the Association of Alaska School Boards. I look forward to the committee substitute for SB 111, and so I'm just going to talk for just a brief time on a high-level view about this bill. There are several things in this bill that have long been supported by the Association of Alaska School Boards through the resolutions process. Among them, a robust pre-K program to ensure students are ready to learn. You've all seen and heard the research, so I won't go into that. Evidence-based reading instruction based on strong research is critical. So many folks this morning have testified on the importance of reading, and the lack of reading is detrimental to everyone through their entire lives, and so we strongly support that. Along with that are reading interventions, early reading interventions, to ensure that students can and do and are able to read. We also appreciate and support the high professional rigorous standards for early educators. We have amazing teachers in the state of Alaska, but you know, the research is coming out on the importance of reading and that evidence-based reading instruction, and you know, anything that we can do to help our teachers become more proficient in that will be appreciated by them and certainly be good for students. We appreciate the increase in the allowable carryover of fund balance. There's a lot of money flowing into the state from the CARES Act and various other federal funding to support the efforts in the pandemic, and this will enable districts to spend this money appropriately rather than be in a use it or lose it mode. And so we think this is a good thing for school districts to do. I want to thank you for the Senate Education Committee's willingness to listen to educators and to supporters of education and education organizations as you go forward to craft a better bill. Our emphasis has been on making it a better bill, not to kill the bill, but to make it a better bill. This has the potential for positively affecting results for generations of students to come. And I just want to thank you for that and commend you for your work and appreciate your testimony. And I will conclude with that, Chair Holland.
Thank you, Mr. Wooten. Next up, and I'd like to extend appreciation to everybody who's held on so long. Rebecca Hemshoot, looks like you've been on hold for about 35 minutes. Ms. Hemshoot, if you'd please state your name and any affiliation and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Holland and Senate Education Committee members. Thank you for taking your time this morning to meet with educators and people who can't testify during the week. It shows your commitment to a good process and good legislation. I am calling from Sitka, and I'm speaking for myself today. I do teach in Keetgushihin Elementary School, which has been recognized as a National Blue Ribbon School through the National Department of Education, which is a great honor for our school. I've heard previous testimony talking about successes that different districts have had, and it's been impressive to hear, and I'm pleased to hear that so many districts are doing so well. For the record, I'll just state that our school, my particular school, is about nearly 20 points above the statewide average in the language arts peaks and about 15 points above average, statewide average in math peaks for the entire elementary school. So I'm proud of my school, and I'm proud of the work that we do in my school. I also just want to give you a little bit more background. I'm a lifelong educator, nearly 20 years in Alaska and nearly 30 years all told. I'm a presidential award winner from 2012. I served an Einstein Fellowship, which is the Albert Einstein Distinguished Educator Fellow Program, in Washington, D.C. at the National Science Foundation in 2016 and 17. So I've spent a lot of time on educational matters, and then in 2016 I was appointed to the State Board of Education by Governor Walker. So I've looked at education from the classroom side, and I've had the opportunity to look at education from the policy side. And I'm concerned about the sunsets. I like that we're talking about a full 10 years to try to get some results. My concern is for school leaders and whether they'll commit to programs and really make the most of those programs, knowing that those programs could go away. So I do have concerns about the sunsets, but anything that will get a more robust pre-K system across the state will, I'm confident, bring the rewards that you're looking for. So I trust you to make good policy, and I look forward to working in schools that have pre-K. I think the one thing I want to add that might be different from what you've already heard this morning is I was fortunate to go to the national conference for the National Association of State Boards of Education in 2018. And at that conference, there was a presenter who is a reading policy specialist. Well, she's a reading specialist at Duke University, but she, as part of her studies, sort of follows reading policy. And a comment that she made that is not addressed in this bill, and I'm not looking to have it added, but I just want to bring it to your attention. So much of what we've done since NCLB in schools has been to target discrete skills in math and reading. And those discrete skills have no purpose for kids unless they're also having the opportunity to do science and social studies and the application of the learning. And so the professor that I was referring to said, well, we all really hesitate to suggest more mandates. The one thing that maybe should be mandated is the teaching of science and social studies. And so along that vein, I want to just point out in this bill, any chance that we get to use the terms culturally responsive so that districts across the state recognize that they need to teach in the way that their students learn. And so keeping that language in the bill, I think, would be helpful. And down the road, I really hope all districts will consider science and social studies as fundamental to their program. So that's all I have. I really appreciate your time this morning. And again, by having a Saturday opportunity, those of us who can't provide input during the week have that opportunity. So I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hemshoot. A question or comment from Senator Begich?
Comment. First, thank you for testifying, Rebecca. It's always good to hear your voice. I just wanted to be sure people understood NCLB, No Child Left Behind, which was relatively, we all remember that issue. And just a comment on the recommended changes, and again, they'll be in the CS, would include or put language relating to that level of cultural responsibility and responsiveness. And there's also stronger language for coordinating resource or coordinating with existing programs in the proposed CS. Again, we're going to see that soon, but we've been in walking through it. I think many of those concerns have been addressed, and I think that's a positive move in terms of this legislation. I want to assure you of that. And then also just to again say to folks, that concern that Ms. Hemshoot has brought up about what level of commitment districts will put behind their early education if there is a sunset clause is just one that I've iterated before in the committee, and I appreciate you saying it as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Begich, and thank you, Ms. Hemshoot, for your comments. Next up would be David Boyle. Mr. Boyle, if you'd please state your name and an affiliation and begin your public testimony.
Hey, good morning, Chairman Holland, committee members. I'm David Boyle, and I'm speaking for myself and I think probably for a lot of Alaskans. I don't think there's anybody on this committee, anybody in the legislature, and anybody in the state of Alaska that doesn't want to see our children succeed, particularly in reading. And I'd like to make some comments. I'm not aware of what the sunset clause is. I didn't listen to the earlier testimony and your conversations. But you need to do this right for success. If you do it wrong, we're only putting more money into a system that's not going to get the desired results. In that regard, I would never want to see this put into the foundation formula for pre-K. Because once it's in there, as you know, it's extremely difficult to pull it out. Let's look at, I'd like to see some metrics and accountability for results in reading. For example, you need to tie your funding to results. Incentivize good behavior and results from schools and districts. If they improve their reading scores, you know, in certain grades, third grade, fourth grade, et cetera, then I think you should be funding them for their great efforts. On the other hand, if school districts get funding and they do not improve in their reading scores, I think you probably should start pulling the money back because it's not working. Let's look at Head Start in the state of Alaska. I noted at a presentation that Deed gave the other day, can't remember which committee, the state of Alaska, since 2008, has received $560 million in Head Start funds. Now, my question is, since 2008, all of those kids that have been in Head Start, and it's a fairly good program, have any of them been taught to read? And if they have, why are our reading scores so low compared to the rest of the nation and in the PEAKS formula? Let's look at Alabama. Bob Griffin, in his testimony the other day, mentioned Alabama has had the highest quality pre-K system in the U.S. for the last 13 years, according to the National Institute for Early Education Research. But look at the results. That investment in high quality has not paid off in their NAEP scores.
For example, over the last 13 years, Alabama has fallen from 47th to 50th in low-income NAEP fourth grade reading scores. Alaska is the only state that's lower. Now, if you look at the capital city, Montgomery, Alabama, 65% minority population. What do you think their reading proficiency is in Montgomery, Alabama public schools? Well, I'll tell you. In the K through 12, the average reading proficiency in Montgomery public schools is less than 1%. That should be a wake-up call to everybody. You have to have the metrics, incentivize good programs, good outcomes, and good schools that are doing the job correctly. Otherwise, you're just going to be throwing money at another program in the public school system. So I want to congratulate the committee for this bill. It's a fairly good bill. You need a sunset clause, incentivize good behavior, and make sure you do it right. And thank you very much for thinking about all Alaskan students.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle. And unless anyone else calls in, it looks like our last one for the day. Once again, our numbers are 563-908-9085, 586-9085, and 844-586-9085. Let's get any of the callers. Looks like Posey Boggs might be our last caller for today. Ms. Boggs, please state your name and any affiliation and begin your testimony.
Hi, thank you. This is Posey Boggs, and I'm calling for the Alaska Reading Coalition. And I've heard some really excellent things today from a lot of the testifiers. And as I've tracked the bills over time, I have one comment that I really like in SB 11. It's section 26, page 19, and it talks about the incentives for districts. I have one recommendation that I would love for the committee to consider. Instead of basing the incentive, I don't understand all the finances, but it looks like, you know, if the districts can roll over some funds, it could be beneficial. But instead of tying it to the National Assessment of Educational Progress, I'd like you to consider tying it to the new assessment K-3 that apparently it might be provided by deed. The reason is those assessments that are appropriate in kindergarten, first grade, second grade are the foundational skills required for any student to have so that they can access the comprehension piece of reading. They're foundational skills, and that's what we want taught because it's evidence-based. There's plenty of evidence. And the other thing is that will give you the data you need to verify that the bill is being effective. So that's the first thing that I would recommend. The second thing is, and I'm desperately searching for it, I thought that I had emailed as testimony a research study that tied preschool language, high-quality preschool, directly to, I believe it was, some eighth-grade reading outcomes. And I'll search and see, maybe it's in my drafts, but if you received that, that's explicit evidence that this really matters in preschool and in going forward so that we have fully literate graduates of high school. So thank you very much for all the hard work that has come out of this committee over the last few years. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Boggs. A question or comment from Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just point out, Posey, that the committee has predictively heard your comment, and the NAEP reference in that section, according to the staff, will actually be removed from the CS. So they've heard you. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to thank all the callers who've called in this morning. It looks like we've exhausted our list. So I'm going to close public testimony. Public testimony is now closed. I want to thank the senators for giving up their snowy Saturday morning here in Juneau for coming in and hearing public testimony. Are there any final comments or questions? Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to reiterate a couple of points that have been made today. And one of those, though, that's really important is it's not just the snapshot of where we are that matters in terms of each of these districts, but whether the district, given having imposed an early education program and then backed it up with good reading, whether that district is showing improvement as well. So there are two metrics to be looking at here. One is where you are relative to other districts, but the other is where you are relative to yourself after you've put into process these various ideas. The bill that we're talking about here does all three of these elements. It has early education backed up by strong reading, which really gets to the issue some of the testifiers brought up, where they've identified the Alabama comment about identifying that early education hasn't seemed to work there. Well, that's because we also don't have a strong reading program there. Incorporating and collectively building these things together and then backing up with support, which I believe SB 111 is intending to do, which I believe SB 8 did, which I believe SB 42 did, is exactly what we want to be doing with education policy in the state of Alaska. So again, with my reservation, only because I haven't seen the bill yet, I think the testimony underscores where we need to be going with the state. The work of the committee underscores that, and I'm looking forward to seeing the CS and moving it rapidly out of committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Any other questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, is there any other business before the committee? Hearing none, our next meeting will be Monday, April 12th at 9 a.m., and this meeting is adjourned this morning at 11:09.